Nowadays, the North African coast is largely divided up into four countries. That's Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya. And Augustine was born in what we would call eastern Algeria. The town was 60 miles inland from the coast, and the Romans called it Tagaste. His home was middle class. His father was Patricius, a pagan, and his mother was called Monica, a very keen Christian, probably converted after the marriage. There were three children. Augustine was almost certainly born last, in the year 354. Now, by the time he was 16, at least two things had become very clear about Augustine. One was that he was very clever, and the second was that he hadn't the slightest interest in Monica's God. When he was 17, he was sent to Carthage to finish off his education. And that city, like many of ours today, was full of moral temptations for young people. In fact, it was far, far worse than the average British city. Pretty soon, he was to be found watching gladiators killing each other. We haven't quite got there yet. Betting on which one of them would win. He was a thief. His language was foul. And his besetting sin was actually sexual lust, because the girl he was living with had a baby when Augustine was 18, and he had the nerve to give that child the name Adeodatus, which means given by God. And just as an aside, by the way, for those of you who are interested, Adeodatus did become a Christian, although he died while he was a teenager. Monica was terribly upset by the lifestyle that Augustine had adopted, and she tried to speak to him, and he said, "I'm a great believer in horoscopes, Mother, and my horoscopes say that my sins are controlled by the constellation I was born under." And that was his excuse. She went to an old man who was a bishop, who was well versed in the scriptures, and pleaded with this guy to point out the error of his ways to Augustine. And the old man knew very well that Augustine was at that stage of his life where he wouldn't listen to a single word that was said to him. And to Monica, the old man said a firm no. And the result was she burst into tears. And the bishop said to her as she went, "Well, it cannot be that the son of such tears will perish." Then in 383 he went to Rome, and things went from bad to worse. How's this for a rotten trick? Monica knew that Rome had even worse temptations in it than Carthage, so she pleaded with Augustine not to go to Rome. Augustine said to her face, "Okay, Mother, I won't go. Would you mind just waiting while I see off a friend on the ship? Go and wait in that church over there. It's not used at the moment." She went into a church. She waited there all night for him to come back. And of course, he was on the boat with the mistress and the illegitimate child. How to treat your mother badly. In the year 385, we find him in Milan. He's now 30, and he's got the job of public orator and a professor of rhetoric, and it suits his purpose to make friends with the pagan aristocracy. And he promises one of them that he'll marry the daughter of the family when she comes of age. And because of that promise, he dismisses the mistress he'd had since he was 17. But he said she was to leave without her child. And why? Because he'd allotted himself 100% custody. That woman was used, and then she was thrown out. How despicable, really, his attitude was. And then when the waiting period before the marriage to this pagan aristocratic girl got too long, he promptly took a second mistress to fill in the gap. Most women, then and now, get bad treatment if they opt to be common law wives. One of Augustine's reasons for writing his Confessions later on was to warn women of the consequences of such relationships. He knew all about the harm that men could do in that area of personal relations. Now, the Christians among us will have realized that the secret story behind what became of Augustine was actually locked into Monica's prayers. By providence, he found himself in Milan. By providence, there was a mighty preacher in Milan known as Ambrose. And in the Confessions, Augustine admits that he went along to church to hear some sermons, just because he was interested in oratory, you understand, not the religious bit. But one day Ambrose preached a sermon on David's sin with Bathsheba, and something went home into Augustine's mind. It was so powerful that he even wrote the words down. Listen to Ambrose's words in the sermon. That David sinned is human, that he repented is exceptional. Men follow David into his sin, but they leave him when he rises to confession and repentance. Augustine at least recognized that he was like David in committing sin, but he was not like him in the repentance bit. In July of the year 386, when he was 32, he opened his heart to his good friend Alypius and told him the full story of the turmoil that was going on in his heart. He wandered out into the garden of their house in Milan with tears of sorrow in his eyes, and he heard a child in the next garden playing, and the child was saying, "Tolle, lege, tolle, lege." It was some sort of a game. The Latin means pick up and read, take and read. And he'd been reading the scroll of Paul's epistle to the Romans. He flings himself beneath a fig tree, he says. He picks up the scroll of Paul's letter to the Romans. It's opened at chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. And you can't do better than go to Augustine's own words at this point. "I had left the volume of the apostle lying there. I caught it up, opened it, and read in silence the passage on which my eyes fell, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in immorality or indecency, not in strife and envying, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." I wanted to read no further, nor did I need to, for instantly, as the sentence ended, there was infused into my heart the light of full assurance, and all the gloom of doubt vanished away. The first practical thing he did after that incident was to go to his mother Monica and say, "Mother, your 32 years of praying for my conversion are over." The next 44 years of his life, up to his death, he wrote 70 books, of which the most famous is The Confessions. It appears regularly in the world's most important 100 books. From now on, his passion was to serve Christ. He says he wrote the Confessions to show that God will save all who call on Jesus Christ, no matter what their condition, and to prove, using his own words, "God has made us for himself, and our heart is restless till it rests in him." The heroine of that story is Monica. The glory is the glory of God's grace in Jesus Christ, sovereign and free. From Augustine we learn that sin is a hard taskmaster. It doesn't bring happiness. Augustine is telling us that repentance and saving faith in the crucified and risen Christ is the one and only way to God. Your excuse for not coming to Christ may not be like Augustine's silly horoscopes, but it's still an excuse. At least from Augustine's story, take this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.